The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Well, now I'm joined in studio by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You've had a busy week.
I have. I've had 4 days of science in Dublin. Yeah, we had a visit from the European Research Council, which is Europe's biggest funder of basic science. €2.5 billion budget a year, by the way. And I'm on the council. I'm a representative of Ireland. And I invited them to Dublin because of the presidency, which starts next week. So we 2 days in Dublin discussing science research. It's not just science. They cover all knowledge, really. So
and you had some heavy hitters in?
Well, the Taoiseach hosted us, Pat. I want to give him a shout out now because he gave a great speech. And you know, I guess the presidency, Ireland will be exposed of it, won't we? Didn't let us down. They were in awe of him. And I'm not joking you. He gave a fantastically lucid speech about science and research and how he'll support it. One reason for coming, Pat, by the way, is we need increased funding for science in Europe with the Horizon programme. And he hopefully will champion that. Yeah. One of our experts said, this could be your legacy. You support science in the presidency. But he was very much on board, I must say. So very impressed.
Now, one of the reasons that Europe has to get its act together is because, well, America is, its act is falling apart.
Yeah.
And the Chinese, on the other hand, are becoming preeminent in pretty much every endeavor in science.
They are. China has tripled its investment in science and research. Pat, tripled it. Can you imagine? So we're falling behind. And this is not being exaggerating. Europe will be a bit player in the world of science and tech if we don't wise up. Everybody's saying this, by the way. Now, it's tricky because the European Commission has to provide the funding for all of this and with the framework program coming up and all the rest. So one of our jobs was to remind everybody of this and say, look, Europe will fall behind, and it's falling behind already. And even though the US is in turmoil, there's still fantastic tech and science happening in the US, especially in AI in these areas.
And that's a question whether we will be enthralled to the US on AI.
Yeah.
Because the heavy hitters there in AI are all American companies.
Well, America is remember, Trump is threatening this, that Europe can't get access to Anthropic, which is a major AI system. So if they own all the technology that we need and we can't get access to it, Europe better catch up quickly. You might have a situation where China discovers a cure for Alzheimer's disease. This is not beyond the bounds of us. And what if they restrict access to new medicines? You know, so Europe needs to step up really and play its part and make these discoveries as well.
Now, we talked a few months ago about the possible brain drain from the United States.
Yeah.
Is that really happening to any degree?
It is. Well, this is the other thing, which was we celebrated this week. So there's a thing called Choose Europe, which means can you convince people from the US or anywhere to come to Europe? In other words, could it be a magnet for talent? And the ERC, as we call this, they put up a special fund. We were given an extra $400 million. And Ursula von der Leyen herself was behind this, by the way. So we were given $400 million extra as a fund to choose, for people to choose Europe, and it's working, Pat. So the first round, there's been almost a doubling of applications from the US to come to Europe, to work in labs and join universities. So there's been an increase, and it's just beginning, you know, and we hope that the world will respond. In other words, Europe would be the place for you to come to do your research. And there's all kinds of reasons. It could be social, it could be the political environment, work-life balance is better here. They're using these as arguments, you see. Mm-hmm. So it's starting, and we hope this Choose Europe campaign will continue.
A lot of the time, though, a chair in a particular university in the United States will be sponsored by a company, maybe a big tech company or maybe just a regular local company that are making pots of money and decide they want to help out the local university, perhaps the one that gave them their start.
Yeah.
And how much of that kind of money will make its way to Europe?
Very important as well, Pat. See, the talent can be anywhere. And these companies are multinational, Pat, so why wouldn't they get involved? You know. And interestingly, on the second day, Pat, I invited in the head of Google Europe was there. The head of the chief scientist in the Kerry Group. We invited him. Albert McQuaid was part of this as well. And then we had a guy called Patrick Ward, who's deputy of Roche Pharma. They spoke at this as well to say, look, we're happy to be involved. And those companies want to see Europe invest in science because discoveries could end up in those companies. Secondly, to employ staff, you got to train people to a very high level. And this system will train young people to work in these industries. So that the industrial part is a very important part of it.
Now, we see in the defense industries, for example, that Europe is trying to cut its dependence on the United States in aircraft, for example, by French or by Swedish rather than by American. That's going to be a problem, isn't it? Trying to, for example, develop an AI model in Europe. We have to have our own large language model.
We do. That's a big thing. And again,
at least in America, they speak one language, sort of, American English. Here you've got Germans and French and Italians and ourselves.
Yeah.
All
this is a challenge for that. And in fact, the industrial people on the panel raised this issue. Europe's complicated in regulation, for instance. Mm-hmm. Different countries, different, that can slow down innovation. You see, the Chinese, of course, can make a decision and press go, and they move very fast. One person spoke about how EVs and self-driving cars, he was the guy in Google, David Sneddon is his name. He'd been in China, and he said he met the company making self-driving cars, and at the moment they go at 15 kilometers per hour.
Yeah.
They said within 3 months we'll have that up to 50 kilometers per hour. You know, so okay, the Chinese are much more
in
agile.
In terms of urban transportation, 50 kilometers an hour. I mean, the speed limit in Dublin city centre is 30 kilometers per hour.
Yeah, so that's right.
You could imagine agility, autonomous really, transport. Yeah.
Agility. And you're right, though, and the regulatory framework has to change as well. Europe makes great discoveries, Pat. Everybody agrees on this. We make the great scientific breakthroughs, but don't translate them effectively into products and services. That's where the gap has been. So can the ERC and the European Union help speed that up, is the idea?
Yeah, I was listening to an ad this morning, and they were talking about the gender pay gap. And if you've got a company of more than 50 people, you've got to log in your stats for your company. Now, it's a worthy objective to narrow the gender pay gap. But I'm just thinking that's another layer.
Another layer.
Stuff
Endless form filling and bureaucracy. Yeah. This needs to be. Now, this is a mission. The European Union says the next 7-year framework program has to be about competitiveness. How do we make Europe more competitive? And for the ERC, it's investing in the base. The nuts and bolts of this really is the idea. And Research Ireland deserve a shout out, but they hosted it. Dermot O'Brien, who's the CEO, gave a great talk as well. Maria Nash was my great. She did a lot of work for us. So what got me, Pat, was they all went away thinking Ireland's great. Isn't that great? You know when you bring guests in, you worry. And the presidency will feature this. And Research Ireland really stepped up
now,
as well.
The other question is, if America is not a reliable partner and we are absolutely tied in inextricably with the American tech industry here and to some extent to pharma and so on, what about the Chinese? What sort of inroads are they making in terms of scientific partnerships in Europe?
Well, again, because given one of my jobs is on the ERC, they sent me to Korea about 3 months ago, right?
Yeah.
To meet with Korean scientists and to try to link with Korea and have some kind of association. Countries can be associate members of science, but Europe and Korea may well become. It's like the Eurovision, strangely enough.
You know, the Canadians have joined the EBU.
Have they really? Yes,
so
you never know.
Competing along with Australia and Israel.
It's just somewhat similar. So the Koreans want to be part of Europe when it comes to science. Now, the AI boom in Korea was remarkable, Pat, when I was there. Now, China is absolutely in our sights because fantastic science. Why wouldn't we collaborate? And collaboration is always better anyway. So there's plans afoot to link into those.
The question is about populations too. I mean, when you have, I don't know how many billion people they have in China, you're almost bound to produce top-class Olympic athletes.
Yep.
Top-class engineers, top-class scientists, because you've got the numbers, and if you get the best of the best, you're almost
it is a numbers
statistically,
game. Well, it's a bit like monkeys typing Shakespeare, Pat. How many monkeys in a room do you need to type randomly and eventually one types a sonnet? Science is funny that way. You need a bit of creativity and outside-the-box thinking, and the Chinese weren't good at that for a long time. They would take something that was discovered in Europe and make it into
make
something.
It better,
they're very good at that, right? But now they're doing discovery as well. And
absolutely,
and they know that themselves, you see. So they're now moving ahead. And either we do it with them, we have to make sure we do it ourselves to give us a bit of a skin in the game, as it were, you know, and collaborate with them would be a very clever thing to do.
Because we could end up between the devil and the deep blue sea.
Well, the phrase, Pat, that Europe is becoming a bit player, they're calling it at the moment, in tech and science. So they need to not to be a bit player. And through the ERC, if we can get our budget doubled, we're looking for a doubling of the budget, that'll make sure we're not a bit player when it comes to science, and tech is the idea.
Okay, Luke O'Neill, thank you very much. By the way, your podcast this week, what are you talking about?
It's the science of wearables. Have you got a smartwatch, Pat?
I'm not actually wearing it today. I wear two watches, remarkably.
Yeah.
The old-fashioned Seiko, which has got a capacitor in it, so it winds itself if I wear it.
Right.
And the other is a fitness watch.
Does one of them tell the time, Pat?
Both tell the time.
These watches don't tell the time anymore. But it's the science of wearables and smartwatches.
And most people use their phone for the time.
They do anyway, that's right, yes.
Very good. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk with Timber Living Log Cabins.